Hi, everyone. I'm Jane Ray, and welcome to another episode of Joyous Journeys Over 60. As always, I'm here with my podcast partner, Andrea Stein.
Jane, it is always just fun to be with you to record these episodes. I really enjoy that.
Me too. And in some ways, today's a little bittersweet for us.
Right.
Because we're going to use this episode as sort of the end of season one. We're coming back for season two in the fall. So if you've been enjoying our podcast, be assured we're coming back. But we thought that this is a good time for us to kind of reflect on 20 episodes.
20 episodes.
I know, right? It's crazy.
Quite a 20
episodes that's covered kind of a wide swath of different topics that are emotional, social, aspects of retirement that, you know, we felt when we started this were really underserved. You know, everybody wants to tell you how to manage your money or your medical or your insurance or all that other stuff. But, you know, for those of us of an age, I like to say of an age, there isn't a lot of resources about the emotional sides of retirement. And there are many.
Yes. And the emotional side of retirement. Now, I'm not retired yet, so Jane, you need to tell me. You are officially retired. The emotional side of retirement, the emotional challenges of retirement are different than the emotional challenges in other chapters or seasons of life. There is a newness. There is I've never dealt with something like that.
It's new, but it's old.
Yeah.
Meaning you don't want to unravel the life that you've built.
Yes.
Right? And you don't want to feel that you're at the end of the life that you built. And while others looking at the outside in think, well, this is the time that everybody has been waiting for, you don't go into this transition without some reflection on where you've been and where you're going.
Right.
And in some cases, it can be a little paralyzing. Meaning I knew all my past roles, and now suddenly I have to reinvent my life. And hopefully you have the financial resources and whatever to be able to do that. But it psychologically, you have to kind of adopt a different mindset. You know, your kids are grown, your work is over. I mean, there's just a lot of things that really stir up in your mind. And also you have to think about how you're going to fill your time. So there's a lot of kind of a swirl of different emotions that that happen. You know, initially it's excitement, like, oh man, I don't have to wake up and go to work every day, and I don't have to deal with all the political stuff. But there's a lot. And then socially, there's a whole different social paradigm that goes along with retirement. So hopefully some of the topics that we've talked about in each of the different episodes have covered at least the surface of that, right? At least the surface of that. But today, I think it's important to kind of just reflect on some of those things. We've met some interesting people along the way too. And so I know in your role as a pastor, you've met, people that have shared their stories with you.
You know, interestingly, when I was listening to you, Jane, right now, and you mentioned about, you know, retirement and the beauty of not having to wake up in the morning and, you know, having these routines. Over the years, I have met good number of people who very openly and honestly said, you know, I will never retire. I work till I die. And they were scared of retiring. I said, Pastor, they say, if I stop working, I'm going to die. I love what I'm doing. And even though obviously there's good days and bad days, whether you're retired or not, of course, there's stressful days, there's frustrating days, for sure. But they don't want to retire because they assume that whatever retirement is about is not what they want, is not what they are looking for. And I've thought about this a lot. So I love what I'm doing as a pastor. So I would love to continue to do this until the end of my days, whenever that's going to be. You know, but then there is also the idea of retirement, having the freedom, having the flexibility, having the opportunity maybe for the first time to take the pen in my own hands and write the story of my life instead of having somebody else keep adding sentences and chapters and paragraphs in there. So there's something very attractive about that as well. So I think overall, I'm looking forward to retirement. How has your experience with retirement been?
The first year was very hard because I was one of those people that thought I would work till I die. Mm-hmm. I worked 3 years past my expiration date, if you want to call it that. I love what I did. I had great opportunities to travel and to meet interesting people when I was working. And I didn't have hobbies, which I don't know if other kind of type A people like me don't have enough hobbies, but I don't have enough hobbies. And so, part of me was excited about the freedom, but if you have too much freedom, you don't know what to do with it.
And that's the other side. And I will never forget this couple of her about, the shared challenge of retirement. Though. So they had a beautiful beach house in Florida, and paid off, financially, probably not rich, but well-to-do, they were fine, they were taken care of. Beautiful beach house, beautiful place. They loved each other, great relationship, marriage-wise and kids. There's always challenges, but, overall, everything was fine. And they were looking forward to living the dream in that beach house. And they were living the dream, they would sleep in every morning, had breakfast together, would play a round of golf, in the afternoon, have coffee together, And they were living their dream every single day. And they coined a phrase for me that I never quite I don't think I'll ever forget this phrase. It said, life was suddenly this golden boredom. It was gold, shiny, beautiful, but it was boredom. It was, all right, after a while, I don't want to play golf every single day. I don't want to do the exact same thing. Need something that has a purpose, a meaning, that creates a sense of accomplishment. Where do I find this now? I don't want to live golden boredom. Boredom is bad as a teenager. Some boredom is fine, but if your teenager is bored too much, chances are that teenager will get in trouble.
Yeah, exactly.
And it's probably true as an adult, as a senior as well. Some boredom is good, allows your body to relax, and some boredom creates creativity because your mind suddenly starts to think differently. Too much boredom, you get in trouble, even as a senior, right?
Yeah, absolutely. And, it's so funny because from the outside in, somebody looking at this couple might be completely envious, right? They're living in a luxury vacation all year round, beautiful place. They're financially established, so they're not really worried about that. They're playing golf. Right. So they're outdoors and then they have a good marriage. All of the ingredients of a perfect retirement are there for this couple.
Yeah.
And golden boredom. I love that term because it's true. It's and again, you might think it's like, wah, wah, wah. Like, what do they have to complain about? But, we are creatures of routine. And from when we're born, right, our parents, our teachers, our employers give us a routine that we are required to do, whatever it is. You have to go to school, you have to go to work, you have to get your job done, you have to raise your children, we're creatures of have-tos. And suddenly when you're at a point where you're want-to, you're not a have to anymore,
right?
You want to do this. Now you got to make it up yourself. And that's golden boredom, right? That's golden boredom where you're doing what everybody thinks you should be doing.
Right.
And maybe you're not. Some of our episodes, we talked about volunteering, and maybe for some people that's uncomfortable, or they don't know how to get started, or they don't want that routine. We've talked about pets. We've talked about travel. We've talked about dealing with, some of the emotional sides of it. But you, as the retiree, have to find how to get out of your own golden boredom. Otherwise, your brain turns to mush. You sleep too much, right? You're not active.
Right.
And even your relationship will start to deteriorate because you're not energized.
Yeah, one of the most nagging questions. It's not a question that somebody else is asking us, but it's a question that's very often coming from the inside of us. It's a very simple question. So what? So, okay, what do you keep doing this? And, you know, I play golf every single day, so what? Well, at first, so what means because I enjoy it and I love the environment, it's beautiful. But after a while, so what? I've done it, I've seen it. It needs a sense of, not, I don't mean the pride right now in an arrogant, cocky way, but the sense of the pride of accomplishing, achieving something. And just doing the same thing day in, day out, as beautiful as it seems, does not give us the pride of, I've accomplished this, I've achieved this. But even as in retirement, it still is a different chapter, but it's still a chapter where we need to find out, what do we want to achieve? What is it that we want to accomplish? And it's no longer the building a career, climbing the corporate ladder, starting a business, but what else is it?
And it's what now, you know, in one of our very first episodes, you know, while we're reflecting, we talked about just being you.
Yes.
Right. And throughout our lives, as I said before, we are rarely, if ever, just us. Right.
Yeah.
Again, we adhere to our parents and school and work and relationships and children and, you know, and all of that other stuff. But we're very rarely just us. And I think in retirement, that's something that we have to embrace, but it's also something that's not comfortable because we are used to being told what to do, right? And so, and we are almost also told who to be. And so there's maybe an identity crisis that comes along with that. What am I achieving right now? And if what you're achieving is just taking up a new hobby or making new friends or, you know, not sleeping till 11 o'clock in the morning every day,
right?
Whatever that achievement is, if it's starting a healthy lifestyle, if it's, you know, whatever, part of it is just doing it because it's something you want to do,
right?
Not what everybody else expects of you. And there's a really big kind of mental shift there that for the first time in your life, you could do what you want to do. But what is that?
And it's not, you know, like if you talk to a teenager, 16, 17 years old, and he or she's trying to figure out where do I want to go to college? What should I major in? What career path should I choose? It's not an easy discernment process. Usually the teenager talks to mom and dad, maybe a school counselor, maybe to a teacher that has become a mentor, you know, but it's not easy to figure it out. It's a discernment process. And I don't think it's easy to figure it out when we're 65 or 70. You know, all right, now what do I want to accomplish? Which path do I want to take? And if I don't take a path and just, that becomes then quickly turns into a golden boredom. You
yeah,
know?
It's like you're floating, but you're not really going anywhere. And you know, for the couple that you just described, I mean, again, most people from looking from the outside in would be like, you know, what do you have to complain about? But there is an emotional aspect to this that wants us as human beings to continually move forward. Whatever that is, right? Whatever that is. And again, different people, different needs, different interests, different whatever. And tapping into that, we're not comfortable with that because somebody's always told us what to do.
Right.
What about the folks, though, that that don't come from that kind of ideal situation and they're coming into retirement and maybe they have some scars?
Well, both of us know this, Jane. That life is hardly ever fair. Life is unfair. And that's not a theoretical statement. Life not being fair means we get hurt. We get beaten down. And some hurt, some beat downs, you get up and you forget about it in a day or two, maybe a week or two, and you move on. But some of these scars never disappear. They keep hurting, you know, and so the question is, as long as we work every single day, 15 hours, 12 hours, 13 hours, we are almost too busy to feel the scar, right? Because our mind is focused on achieving what we need to do. But now that we have more time, and suddenly these scars in retirement can hurt worse than they did before. Suddenly you feel a hurt that you didn't feel, you know, in years, you know, or maybe even decades, but you realize why suddenly is that stuff popping up? It's not popping up. It was never gone, but you kept your mind on your career, on managing business. Suddenly that's there. And there is this challenge, you know, you probably have experienced betrayals, disappointments, but the reality is, this is, you overcame them. I really never forget. Remember, now this is kind of an extreme example, extreme stories there. A woman who shared this, she came home and, you know, they had trouble at home. I mean, not major, you know, like every couple bickers, has arguments, conflicts, is just part of life, you know, and so she, you know, they were settled in that routine, and she came home and found a little sticky note on our kitchen table, you know, you will hear from my lawyer, I'm gone. And, you know, her whole world came crashing in. And she, at first she thought it was a bad joke, but she realized that ain't a joke, this is real. I have to figure this out, you know. And she managed, you know, and this was not something that happened in a day or two. This wasn't even something that happened in a year or two. This took quite a while. You know, she managed to rebuild life, career, relationships in a positive way. But the hurt never quite went away. But she, you know, I remember us talking many times, and part of the reality is, listen, you don't have a choice. The hurt, what happened, what that person did to you, forgetting is not an option. We are not a computer hard drive where you can just erase, delete, start all over again. That stuff stays there. So, but you really don't have a choice. You need to embrace even those parts of your past that you much rather forget. And by embracing, I mean take pride in the fact that you overcame that. Whatever that person did to you is unfair, was mean, was nasty, and whatever other words you want to add to it, it's all true. You will not forget this, but embrace the fact that what you thought would kill you, what you thought would end you, was just the beginning of a new life. You overcame that. So embrace your strength. You know, when these scars hurt again, and you still see how you came home after work and found that sticky note, and suddenly those feelings are still there just as badly as they were decades ago. Now, embrace the fact, yeah, but I managed to overcome. I managed to move on. I managed to soar again. That's what I mean with embracing. And retirement is embracing the scars means you thought it would break you, but it didn't. You overcame it. And that's one of the challenges of retirement, to get to these points where your scars become a source or reason of things of gratefulness. I overcame them.
You know, I absolutely agree with you, because the scars aren't going to go away, like any scar, right? I have scars on my leg from when I broke my ankle. That scar's there forever. But I can walk. Right? I can walk, I can move. And so you're right. There's a point, particularly at retirement, where you're kind of reflecting backwards and forwards, right? I mean, that's one of the aspects of retirement. We talked a little bit about nostalgia. Yeah. You know, you do get a little nostalgic when you reach this age, and you think about, you know, your past and maybe growing up, or, you know, different chapters in your life, and you're looking forward. And maybe that's a little scary looking forward, because you don't know what you're looking forward to. But it is a time of looking at the scars and realizing that I'm not done yet, right? I'm not done yet. I've overcome those scars, and maybe they're there. I mean, there's still, maybe there's mistrust, or maybe there's still, you're harboring some feelings, but you're going to move forward, right? You're going to move forward. And I think that's, you're kind of at a cross point at retirement where you make a conscious decision that I'm going to make this the best that you can. You know, I have a friend, I call her my hero. And she is, she's my hero because she's just dealt with a lot of adversity. She got divorced after 45 years of marriage.
Wow.
That's a really, really long time, right? A long time. She got diagnosed with breast cancer. She lost both of her breasts. She is constantly being monitored for new cancers, right? She is, I call her my hero. She is one of the nicest, most kind. She plays tennis every day. She has a million friends. She has four amazing children. They call her Glamma. I love that about her. Now, I'm sure in her heart, the scars that are there from having so much adversity, the fear of, you know, the illness returning and the implications in her life and all of that. I'm sure that deep in her soul, right, there's stuff there. But she's living every day of her life to the best that she can. And I said she's a fairly new friend. She's in her 70s. She's just one of these people that you just meet. And she has a charisma about her, not because of what's happened in her life and not because of her diagnosis or anything like that. You don't even know that about her. She just has this enthusiasm for life. And maybe that enthusiasm is in large part because of what she's been through. Right, that she has overcome some major challenges, and she's continually optimistic, at least outwardly, right? And she's got, I said, just this attitude that I'm envious of, because under those circumstances, I can't tell you that I would be able to be the way that she is, but I'd like to be. I'd like to hold that up as something that I would aspire to if, heaven forbid, I were in that situation.
You know, for me, one of the most practical issues when it comes to embracing the past, embracing the scars that are still hurt, is the issue, you mentioned it, of trust. You know, because once you have seen how unfair life is and how people you thought as friend, as people who love you, care for you, be there for you, how they tossed you aside or hurt you deeply or betrayed you, whatever, you know, there's something inside of us that tells us, I'm never going to go to that place again. And the way I'm never going to go to that place again is I'm never going to trust anyone again. And never, that's not how it goes. If you don't trust anyone, then relationships will never become, develop the beauty that they can. Now, trust is not an either or. It's not like we either trust or we don't trust. It's gradual. There's degrees of trust. I mean, some people I would trust with my life, and some people I trust, but not sure if I would push it to that extreme. And some people I don't trust, but it's not a paranoia. And some people I wouldn't trust with anything. So, trust is a gradual matter of degree, and you know, once we have seen and tasted the bitter, unfair side of life, to relearn how to trust in a positive way is a necessary, concrete step of truly embracing and moving forward.
And it's not instantaneous.
No.
Right? Today I decide that I'm going to trust and get rid of all those bad feelings and all that mistrust that I have. It's a gradual process, right?
Absolutely.
But it's being open to other people and at least accepting the fact that they may not hurt you.
Right.
And that's for people that don't trust. That's difficult to open yourself up so that you're vulnerable.
It's scary.
But on the other hand, if you allow yourself to wallow in mistrust, and I use the word wallow very intentionally, you're only hurting yourself because you're denying yourself the opportunity to have new friends, to have new relationships, to have new experiences, because you're so afraid of what could happen. I personally have some trust issues. I've told you that before. But one of the things that I've learned is that if I get hurt again, was it worth the experience that I went to before that, right?
Good question.
You know, yeah. I mean, that's, it's kind of one of those, like, if I didn't open myself up, or if I didn't allow myself to be vulnerable, what am I missing out on? Yeah. Right. Because I could wallow in my, you know, bad feeling. I don't want to call it pity, because it's not really pity. I mean, if people have hurt you, that's real. And so it's not really, you're not feeling sorry for yourself, but I could hold myself really close and tight and closed up. But what am I missing by giving other people a chance? Right? Because the chances are good. There are a lot of people out there that won't hurt you, particularly at this age, right? At this age, I think our needs, our goals, our aspirations, our self-protectiveness are very different. Because, you know, back then everybody had an agenda. Right now, what's the agenda?
Right. You know, it's unhealthy, probably impossible to not trust anyone. Life becomes empty and bitter. It's naive and foolish to trust everyone. We know that. We've tasted that. So somehow we need to find the place in between these extremes. I think both of us, I mean, you can't live longer than a half a day or so, realizing that both ends, both extremes are there, and we've both known people that are in one extreme or the other, and usually it doesn't end well. It goes into different directions, but it doesn't end well. So retirement, you have tasted the bitter side of trust that was misplaced, whether it's in a professional relationship, a personal relationship. But you've also tasted the good side, that surely you trusted a person and that person came through for you. And to not let one flush out the other, it's easy to say don't do it. It's hard to do it in reality, but it's one of the challenges of retirement to figure this trust thing out.
And, you know, if there are two episodes that we did that I would encourage people to re-listen to, it is about just being you and embracing your past, because that's the starting point, right? Once you can learn how to be you, once you can accept that you can't change the past, but you can learn from it and move forward, those are the building blocks, I think, of a joyous journey. Now, we've talked about a lot of other different topics, and I, you know, as we go through the next several months, we're going to kind of, you know, re-highlight some of those topics. That's one of the reasons we decided to make a season, so that we could revisit some of these topics over the last 20 episodes, and hopefully each of you will find something that resonates with you, something that you can reflect on. We've talked about grief, which is very painful, right? And we had a couple of people come and share their journeys on that, and, you know, so emotional, but also very, you know, practical, because each of us have the potential of facing that. We've talked about pets and travel and food and fun stuff, right? We've talked about, you know, not letting physical disabilities stop you from necessarily enjoying your life. I'm really proud, by the way, Andreas, of this podcast, because I think that we have touched on at least the surface of so many different emotional aspects of this chapter that just aren't talked about. You know, people assume you're going into retirement like, yay, and you are, right? You are. Everybody wants to go into retirement. But after a few weeks, you know, all of those things start bubbling up.
Yes.
Golden boredom, right? Even if it's not golden.
It might be silver.
It might be silver, right? Not yet. We're not going silver yet. But you know, these are real situations. And look, Lord knows we don't know how much time we got left. right? We don't know how much time we have left. You didn't know how much time you had left when you were in your 20s. You definitely don't know how much time you have left when you're in your 60s and 70s. We need to make the most of it.
Yes.
And we want you to have a joyous journey.
Yes.
So with that, I want to thank my podcast partner.
Well, Andrea Stein, and I thank you, Jane, for really guiding us through this season. And I'm really already today excited about second season.
Yeah, I think second season we're going to dig a little deeper, and hopefully we'll have some guests to share their stories. And so in the fall, so this is now May of 2025, in case anybody's wondering where we are in lovely, now very hot Florida. But come the fall, we're going to start season two. But I do hope that if you're listening, you take a chance to re-listen to some of the other episodes. And then we're going to come back with even more. So until then.
Jane, I hope you have a wonderful and beautiful summer in your summer home.
Yes, we have a tiny home in Georgia, so I have learned to live small, but very excited about having a chance to get away from the Florida heat, although it is hot in the mountains too. And then I hope you have a good summer as well. Florida, where we are in Florida, is very seasonal, so hopefully things are slowing down a little bit.
Slowing down, and I have to admit, I'm looking forward to the hot and humid Florida summer. Somehow, I don't know why I love it.
Well, I've lived in Florida full-time for 35 years, so I'm really comfortable with hot and humid and praying for no big hurricanes.
That is the number one thing, yes.
Anyhow, until then, our prayers for all of you are for a healthy, happy, joyous journey until we meet again.
Until we meet again.
All right. Jane Ray.
Andrea Stein.
This is Joyous Journeys Over 60.